Hello and welcome to episode number 17 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I'm Robert Rosenthal.
Robert, you're not here in our Champaign studio in the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning inside the Armory.
I'm not even in the central time zone. I am in Idaho at my son's house.
Well, this is a unique venture for us. This is the first time we're going to do an episode where we're not in the same location. A new venture.
That's right. It'll work, right? Like, technology always works.
What has you in Idaho?
I'm watching the kids while my son and his wife go to some conference, and my wife and I are watching the kids. So I've got 5 full days here of parenting duty of a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old.
Because you're a grandparent.
I am a grandparent.
So you're grandparenting.
Yes. My 3-year-old granddaughter and my 1-year-old grandson are going to keep me busy for the next 5 days.
Well, I'm grateful that you have a little bit of time from chasing around the kiddos to talk about Illinois men's basketball getting a win over Washington and a huge Sunday game against Nebraska. And women's basketball, although they lost to UCLA on Wednesday, had a strong showing against the number 2 team in the nation. Our producer, Maisie Garrett, was there, so we will talk to her a little bit about that. And we got a couple of football items, including the schedule that dropped. So plenty of items here for us to get to on this edition of the pod. But before we do that, what do we have to do, Robert?
Well, apparently I have to entrust you to be the first non Robert person to light the eye. So, good luck with it. I hope you understand how to press buttons, and you are deputized to now light the eye.
I did not go through any training, and I know that even you, a seasoned lighter of the eye, have had trouble lighting it in the past, particularly in Nashville after a Music City Bowl win.
Yes, let's see if you can pull it off.
All right, here we go. It's time to light the eye.
Look at that. So easy.
Ten victories in a row for Illinois men's basketball. Who would have thought? Listen, when this team was assembled in the summer, there were a lot of takes that said this team was very talented, but how would the team come together? How would it coalesce? And I shared the, well, we will have to wait and see. Thoughts on this talented team. 10 victories in a row. And at the halfway point, Robert, the Illini are 9-1 in Big Ten play.
And the one loss was a buzzer beater. So, you know, that rims out, and it's possibly 10-0 in the Big Ten. So, yeah, it's certainly a surprise. It is certainly beyond what I think most expected from this season with the unknowns. The biggest thing to me is that, you know, Tyler wrote this on our site today, that, like, this isn't going to happen, but probably already in the NCAA tournament, regardless of losing the rest of the games, which would put them, like, 18-14, and with all the quad one wins so far, 18-14 would probably even get them a playoff game or a play-in game. So we have reached this point of, could lose the rest of the games and be in the NCAA tournament after an entire decade in the 2010s where it was bubble after bubble. And well, if they win their last 4 and then maybe 2 in the Big Ten tournament, they could sneak into a play-in game. And now here we are at, it's not February yet, and the NCAA tournament is a lock. You could lose 11 in a row here and still get in. So it's different times indeed. 10-game win streak is crazy, especially with some of the road games they had to play.
one more victory and you've guaranteed yourself at least a 500 season in conference. And again, we are more than halfway done with the whole season. This is always that interesting time of year to me when you feel like, okay, actually we're not that far away from the postseason. What, 6 weeks, 5 weeks if you're or so if you're thinking Big Ten tournament, but you've only just completed half of a 20-game Big Ten schedule. So in one hand, you can start to see a little light at the end of the tunnel in terms of the calendar, but also from the basketball standpoint in your conference, you're at the halfway mark. But there are four teams that are, as we're recording this, 9-1 at the top of the conference. And tonight, Michigan and Michigan State, who are both 9-1, will play each other. So somebody's going to be 10-1. And then Illinois and Nebraska, which we can get into in a little bit on Sunday, who are both 9-1, are going to play each other. So there's only going to be two at the top at the end of the weekend. Am I doing that right?
Yeah, and I think we were asked that question a couple weeks ago. Somebody was asking, hey, what do you think the Big Ten winner will have as far as a record? And at this point, with four teams at 9-1, yes, you're right. By Sunday night, two of those four teams will have two losses. But it feels like 17-3 might not do it. Feels like maybe 18-2. I don't know. When you have 4 9-1 teams, it just feels like somebody's going to get to 18-2. You know, yes, a lot of those teams play each other. Michigan State and Michigan play twice. There are going to be losses, but I'm not sure 17-3 would get somebody at least a solo title. I think if you want the title, you probably need to get to 18-2. As crazy as that sounds. I don't know what you think about that, but that it feels like it's going to be one of those kind of things.
Well, the gap, as we've talked about, between the top of the league and the bottom is pretty wide this year. It's a deep league. I still think when you get into the middle, but the drop-off this year in the Big Ten is pretty significant. I mean, Penn State is 0-10 in the Big Ten. They'll find a way to win eventually, but you just don't usually have something that bad in terms of a record. So there's some bottom feeders that the top of the league is kind of eating up, but then it's the matchups like what's happening this weekend where you face each other that will go a long way in determining who gets either a solo title or coveted seeds in the Big Ten tournament.
Yep. Can I just note as we look at this, as we've switched to the thing? I mean, look, I'm a large-headed man as it is. Can we just note the size of our two heads in this box right here? Is that not amazing? I hope this becomes the first light the eye meme, because I would have to go back by that window over there to have the same size head as you. I mean, look at this thing. This gargantuan thing.
I mean, part of it is it's you're right up on a camera on your desk, and you know, I'm properly framed here. So
yes, but part of it is also the this optical 7 7/8 head right here. We're talking if you get the hat with the clasps in the back, it's one single button struggling to maintain that hat on my head.
Our audio only
just emphasizes
our audio only consumers are just missing a great optical contrast
this
here.
Get people to run to the YouTube version of this. I don't know what will, because that is a massive noggin. It's like Sputnik. Orange on a toothpick.
Speaking of running to YouTube, if you're there, please like and subscribe. And if you're listening on your podcast platform, we really do appreciate it if you would leave us a review and subscribe to the show as well. It really helps us out, and we appreciate the many thousands of you, according to the data that we get, that have been tuning in to the program.
Remind me what your question was to me, because I just started talking about my big head and got distracted. So you had asked me a question, I believe.
I don't know.
And I completely forgot.
I had this question for you, though. Since you're in Idaho,
mm-hmm.
and you've had some family obligations there, you did not watch the Illinois-Washington game live. How did you get through it without
a slight delay?
I've done that Oh, okay, only slight. But you have to kind of be very committed then to not what? Check your social
phone
media.
Phone on, do not disturb.
Okay.
Yes. No Twitter during the entire game. I think I opened. So I caught up at halftime.
Oh.
But I wasn't. But then I had to do something with my granddaughter, so I was behind again. So at halftime, I checked Twitter. I think I retweeted something Tyler had said. He was covering the game for the site. He was there. So I think I caught up at halftime and retweeted one of his halftime tweets. And then got caught up doing something with my granddaughter and my grandson and this and that, and started 10, 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes later. So by the time I got done, obviously I was fast forwarding through commercials and such, but I had these two breaks with he was going to bed and, you know, again, my son and daughter-in-law were still here, so they were taking care of it. But yes, my protocols are no Twitter. Phone on do not disturb, because I know there's a bunch of texts coming in. Especially, I was very careful about the do not disturb. So like at one point when I paused it for a good 10, 15 minutes, I think the score was something like 49-44. So it's still in doubt. So my main thing at those is like I've got to be really good and not pulling up, like not looking to see the number of texts on like the front screen of my phone. Because if I saw like 81 texts, that probably means, oh my God, I can't believe we're losing this game. So I even have to not interpret what that is happening. And I have to just like put the phone down, leave it alone, and only go by the information I'm getting when I press play again.
I have often wondered, I actually kind of don't text you during games sometimes because I know you're getting a million texts. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to make mine stand out so that you respond to it. So I just sort of, if I'm not, you know, if it, you know, if we're in the same physical location, that's different. But
I always tell people, like, this is a great discussion because it has nothing to do with the game. I always tell people, like, read receipts to me are the best thing that the iPhone does. Because, and I will always leave read receipts on. You will know if I've read your text, right? And that way, you know whether I'm too busy or I'm ignoring you, right?
So or both.
That's the best way to just, if people have texted me during a game and are not responding, go look, see if I read it. Because I will save it until I can get to it. I'm not a, like, oh, I'll just quick see if somebody's saying something and this and that. I'm very intentional about it. So I love the read receipts. You say read, listen, we got to bring Maisie in on this. Okay, Maisie, I'm coming to your mic here. I've heard people say read receipts or read receipts. Which way do the kids say it?
I am very much a read person, not read.
Is that because of like people say leave you on read?
Yeah.
Because of that phrase? Sure. Yes. So if you were to say, hey, I have read receipts on, you say I have read receipts on.
I would say I have read receipts on, mm-hmm. but that makes more sense to say I have read receipts on, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
This is an interesting debate we have settled on. All here right. you go, Scott. This is where you throw the, in the comments of the episode, say the way you pronounce that.
Is it read or read?
Yes. I know when you say the whole thing, the whole, you know, hey, he left me on read, or hey, what are you doing? Leave me on read, meaning I see that you read that and you didn't respond. But when you add the word receipts, is it read receipts or read receipts? Important questions.
Fascinating topic for all of us.
These are the things that people rewind to listen to this stuff. This is the good stuff. And the rewind to see how big my head is in the little box.
I got caught once with a Bears game, not this year, but it was a few years ago, but I was trying to not know the outcome, and mm-hmm. I forgot that I left like ESPN notifications on, and so the final popped up on me before I knew the end of the game. It was very annoying. I don't even remember if they won or lost, but
I watched the Masters final round on delay once, and I was catching up, so I was very close. It's the 18th hole. The guy's in the fairway. I can't remember which Masters it was. and I'm like watching on my phone. I'm like, oh my God, this is so exciting. And then all of a sudden it says on the screen, the ESPN update, so-and-so sinks putt on 18th, and I missed it. You know, like then I'm watching the putt and seeing, and I already know what happened. So yeah, you have to be very careful. Scott, can I tell a story?
You've already told several.
Say yes.
I was going to talk about how it was a workmanlike win for Illinois yesterday. Okay, but go ahead.
People will love this story. 2 minutes on the clock. I can get it done in 2 minutes. The game that I did the best at not learning the outcome is the greatest game in Illinois basketball history. The 2005 Elite Eight game against Arizona. I had a I was engaged at the time. I got married that May, so this is late March. It was Easter weekend. That Saturday night, there was a dinner with some of my now wife's relatives who were meeting me for the first time. So when the seedings came out, I was like, I have to, like, anytime that Saturday except for Saturday night. And when is the Arizona game? Saturday night. So I recorded it, turned my phone off, turned everything else off, and watched that game by myself, hitting play at 12:30 in the morning. So it was like 2:30, 2:15 after fast forwarding through commercials, 2:50 in the morning when I see Darren's shot go in, and I have no one to celebrate with. That game, the most famous game in Illini basketball history, I watched it by myself in the middle of the night.
Did you yelp? Did you scream? Did you wake people up? Did you run out the street?
I live by myself. I had a house in St. Louis, so I had no one. I had a cat. The cat watched me run around the room celebrating. I turned my phone on. I had all these voicemails, all these texts, everything else. You know, that's the kind of game you hear from people that you knew 10 years ago. I'm like, hey, man, just watched the Illinois game. Congrats. That was amazing. Might have been the best game I've ever seen and all that. But I didn't get that. My phone was off until 3 a.m. And then I had nobody to, like, you want to reach out to somebody, right? You want to, like, celebrate with someone. And by that time, everybody was asleep. So I didn't even listen to the radio, like in case some DJ, when I was driving to my house from my in-laws, in case some DJ was like, hey, anybody see that Illinois game tonight? I didn't want any information, no spoilers. So I just sat in silence the entire way back and then pressed play for the most famous game in history.
Good story.
It was a good story. Maisie, that was a good story. Give me a thumbs up. Maisie enjoyed that story. Maisie, were you alive in 2005?
First, I enjoyed the story. Second, yes, I was alive in 2005. Okay, I was born in 2003.
Okay,
we
great.
So know
a two-year-old somewhere.
We know that Maisie is being genuine, because if she didn't enjoy the story, she would say, you would say, I love that you loved telling that story.
Yes, I love that you really enjoy that story for yourself.
Because when we asked Maisie if you could clear 10 feet in a long jump, she said, I would love for you to be able to do that. Which
just had that conversation out here,
no
by the
shot.
Way, with my son and daughter-in-law, and both of them said, for me jumping 10 feet, zero chance. I have no shot whatsoever.
I met a nice couple at the ball game, and I did not know them before, but they are listeners to the pod, and they agree, no shot. You do not have a lot of backing on this
I
one.
I am going to shock the
if
world.
If you're just joining the podcast, Robert, on a whim,
it wasn't even a dare. I just said it out loud.
You just said, I can clear 10 feet in a long jump, and we all think no shot. And when we get a chance to make him prove it, there is at least $77 up for a charity of the other's choice, whoever, because I obviously think you can't do it. Here's my
and
take
Maisie,
on the.
I'll be honest, since you're here, just
I'm never going to get there.
Yes, you're not. Maisie, the biggest thing here is that people, like, the thing is stuck in my head is when you told me, for some reason, when you told me it's just jumping off 1 foot, I don't know why I thought I would get help from the second foot or that would make it easier. But now, then I'm worried about, like, hitting the board wrong and, like, twisting my ankle when I try to leap or something. So that has thrown me off a little bit mentally as I prepare for this.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. In a way, it helps you because, you know, you take your front leg to really drive up and out to control where you're going. But yeah, there's definitely the risk during that little penultimate step where things go wrong.
What if, like, what if my patella tendon just bursts in that moment? What, how long is my rehab?
Are we going to be saying, we're sorry, folks, we are not going to show you this. It's too traumatizing.
Yes, that would be great. We have it on video, but it would scare you to death. And so we're not going to do it.
It's like Alex Honnold.
Honnold, yes.
Yeah, who just climbed the Taipei Tower. You know, we're going to do this on delay just in case.
Yes. Yes.
The worst happens.
Okay. I will now allow you to bring us back to basketball, Scott. I'm done with my story time.
All I want to say is the win for Illinois over Washington. Look, Washington is kind of underperforming compared to some expectations for them this year. They were to be an improved team. And they've got injuries. They lost a player for the year. And it's just not been a great year for them. Illinois, on most any night, wins that game in terms of on-paper matchup. But
yes,
you're coming off the most emotional win of the season and a game that people are just talking about what Keaton Wagler did still. And as a team, you're trying to turn the page. And it's sandwiched between that and Nebraska coming up. So all the makings of a classic trap game. And there was just some oddities. Some missed wide open shots, missed free throws early. Like Illinois wasn't, they certainly just weren't humming as much as they were at for good portions of the Purdue game. Purdue certainly did some things to stop Illinois at good at points. But anyway, it just wasn't like a super smooth performance for Illinois. It looked a little sluggish and sleepy. And they still won it. And there never was a point where you felt like they're not in control of the game, even though Washington had it close for a good portion of it. There was that little burst from Washington at the get-go, and then Illinois took the lead, and they just kind of, you know, it's like a long wrestling match where one wrestler is just up by a point or two the whole time, but just never lets the other one really get control, but it stays kind of tight. And then they just kind of put things away. And I just don't know that that's a game that Illinois always wins in that kind of situation in some of the years past. So the target's on their back now. Keaton Wagler has a target on his back, and he still dropped 22. And I think I tweeted this. He had 8 assists, so he was flirting with a double-double in points and assists. The game after he scored 46.
Yep.
And 5 of those 8 assists were 3-pointers. So he assisted 21 points. Yep. The kid's special.
It's such a good advertisement for the way Illinois plays basketball. I tweeted this after the game. Well, after I finished watching the game. So it's probably a half hour, 20 minutes after the game. But there was that burst from Washington, end of the first half and beginning of the second half, where they couldn't miss. And it wasn't just couldn't miss. It was ball would hit the front of the rim, then the backboard, then the rim, and then fall in. They had so many shots that were like, you know, oh, it hit the front of the rim, bounced straight up in the air and fell through, you know, very close to being misses. And so they couldn't miss. 13 of 16 during that stretch. And Illinois extended their lead across that stretch. How did Illinois extend their lead? They hit more threes and Washington hit more twos.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Illinois only shot 50%, Illinois was 11 for 20 across that stretch. Washington was 13 for 16. But Illinois, in that stretch, hit more threes than twos and got a lot of offensive rebounds. And they got a second chance and a third chance. And yes, Washington was rebounding the ball well, but what was it, 24-2 in second chance points or something like that? So even when your opponent is rebounding the ball, you can still use this style of, look, we miss threes, but when we miss them, we grab a ton of them. That's that clip that went viral with Underwood talking about how they try to rebound more than 40% of their missed threes with the positioning of their players going after rebounds. And so it is this constant, really difficult thing to overcome that Washington can even shoot 81% over a 12-minute stretch of the game and not cut in any more to Illinois' lead in that exact stretch when they can't miss, because Illinois is hitting the threes, and threes count more than two still to this day, and because Illinois is getting so many offensive rebounds and getting to the line and all the other little stuff that Illinois does to win games. So such a great advertisement for, even on the off days, you play this type of basketball, you get that many offensive rebounds, you make the second chance bucket, and you make it really hard to beat you, even if you're shooting 81% across the stretch. So crazy stuff.
The other thing of note is, to me, and Scott Ritchie, the News Gazette, brought this up on the pregame show with me, that David Mirkovic, any other year, would probably be talking about, is this one of the best freshmen ever? And he's overshadowed right now by Keaton Wagler. Yep. His impact on a game, it's different than Kofi, because Kofi was such a low post player only, but the way that Merck can rebound and shoot, and even ball handle a little bit, I mean, you just don't see such high impact freshmen collectively on a floor together like you're seeing with Wagler and Mirkovic. So it's pretty incredible. And in sum, I think this win to me just shows how high the floor is for Illinois right now.
Yep.
You know, the ceiling, I mean, we get giddy about the ceiling, but what makes me think about the ceiling is the fact that the floor is so high for Illinois. I just haven't seen a clunker from them in this stretch. And I get it. They're, you know, when, I mean, that was a quad two game. And, but still, I mean, just stringing together 10 wins is not easy.
Just think, if I told you in November, hey, in January, Tommy is going to be off. And it's he'll have a few hot stretches of shooting threes, but the Tommy we saw last year, it's just going to,
but is he
something's going to be missing?
I don't think he's off. I know that Brad Underwood.
I feel
Underwood,
like he's been, he's not, if you remember when the Big Ten,
he's being used differently.
10 players for preseason player of the year, and Illinois fans went crazy that Tommy wasn't named one of the 10. Because everybody thought, like, this, he's going to take a step forward and be the guy this year. This is Tommy's team. So many people thought he was headed for first team All Big Ten, that type of thing. I don't think we've seen exactly that. He hasn't been terrible, but he hasn't been that take a big step forward guy.
But he hasn't been asked.
Hasn't been the player that was expected. And you also have Boswell gets injured. If I would have told you these things, hey, Petrovic's going to be struggle so bad on defense that they're going to struggle to play him. Boswell will get injured. Tommy will be struggling. They'll be down to 7 players, and they're going to have to basically rely on the 2 freshmen to bail them out all the time. In no way would you expect a 10-game win streak.
Well,
a 10-game win streak when you're down to just 7 guys and Boswell isn't one of them and Tommy's not the dominating force people thought is so far from what we're expecting of this team, and speaks so highly to what these 2 freshmen have done, in my opinion.
I agree with you, the bigger picture, but I just wouldn't characterize Tommy as struggling in any stretch. I think he just hasn't been asked to be that, what we thought he might be. He is rebounding. He is shooting the ball fairly well. I mean, he's at 10 points a game. He's shooting 35. I mean, he's a 7-footer that's hitting 35% from threes. I just don't put him in the category of struggling. But tomato, tomato,
fair.
Right?
Okay. It's fair. My main point is that I didn't. I'll say it this way: Tyler and I did a thing in the preview we wrote on the website where we did a draft of the players, and we just went back and forth and picked players. And then we use like an NBA fantasy kind of scoring thing where you get so many points for rebounds, you get so many points for assists and points and everything else. Tyler is absolutely destroying me I am getting killed in this. I picked Kylan Boswell first. Then he took Stojakovic and he took Tommy. And then I took Mirkovic and Petrovic because I thought Petrovic was going to be like the guy, the main point guard, this and that. That allowed him to get Wogler, and you can see why he's destroying me in all statistical categories. He also grabbed Big Z, and he gets all these points for all the blocks and everything else. So,
by the way,
you know, at the time we were thinking this is a Boswell, Tommy, Stojakovic team, and right now it is a, because Boswell's injured, it is a the two freshmen control what we do kind of team, and that's crazy. You know, I never expected to be number five in KenPom when you're relying on Wogler and Mirkovic to do everything.
Well, this team is very balanced, and even Wogler with 46 points is that's not what they're probably. I mean, he has to score more now, and he's sure. Just kind of blossomed. But it'll be very interesting to see when Boswell's back how things recalibrate a little bit. All right. Before we get off the Washington game, because we want to get to the women as well, but the moment that has been talked about the most was Brad Underwood's post-game comments, because he was asked about Ben Hummerkaus, and this has come up before. Ben Hummerkaus, 4 threes in the game against Washington. That's his most threes this year in a Big Ten game. His season high is 5, but he made 4. So he was huge off the bench, but he's also been embrace my role, do the little things, and defend. So Brad Underwood was asked post-game about it, and here's what Brad Underwood said that's kind of making the rounds now.
This last year, I'm not sure Ben could guard a dead man. And, I mean, probably would give up 20 to Izzo's mom last year. This year, he's guarding everybody and just doesn't make mistakes. So Tom, don't get pissed and call me tonight when you see this, but I hear she's a hell of a player. Ben's phenomenal, and like I said, he does everything that he's supposed to do.
So that comment is certainly gone viral, but it's not the first time that his mom has come up. Tom Izzo's mother, Dorothy, has come up. This was from a Fox broadcast a few games ago where they went in the huddle, and Izzo's going at one of his own players.
Kerr, you can't guard my mother. My mother. Hey, hang on, go.
In case you missed it, he said, Kerr, you can't guard my mother. My mother. So I don't think Tom Izzo should be calling Brad Underwood, because he apparently doesn't believe. He apparently uses his as motivation himself.
Here's what I want to know. Could Tom Izzo's mom jump 10 feet in the long jump? That's what the people really want to know.
Is she allowed to train?
Is Maisie allowed to train her? I don't know. These are the questions.
Or will she clear longer than you would?
Yes. On Ben becoming a big piece, it's just more, you know, we've seen this with Boswell. We've talked about it with other players. You know, Terrence Shannon, the second year for a transfer seems to be this magical thing where first year you're adjusting to the new system you're in. We saw that from Shannon in 23. And then second year in that same system, you just blossom. And I think Ben is doing that. I have this theory that, like, after he made that crazy shot clock beating three at Purdue, now it's like, you know, he had those two coming off screens last night where it was just turn and fire, and he made both of them. Maybe we've just needed to have, all right, Ben, you're not going to get open threes anymore. We're going to throw you the ball. Somebody's hand in your face, fading away, because you seem to hit about 70% of those, because he's been on fire with the difficult threes after earlier in the season missing a bunch of wide open, you know, pass it around, hit him on the baseline, and he just would miss the three. So more of that Ben Hummerkaus, pretty please, because that's a weapon.
All right, let's turn our attention to women's basketball. They have been in a really tough stretch of the Big Ten schedule, and they battled against UCLA on Wednesday night, the number 2 team in the nation. and they lost. But they did not get run out of the gym. And I know that Shauna Greene does not like moral victories. She would like real victories. But still, to me, it came off as impressive. And I thought instead about just speculating on what we saw, I thought about, instead of just talking about what we saw on a screen, let's talk to Maisie, because Maisie Garrett was there producing the Big Ten Plus broadcast. So, Maisie, first of all, though, I saw you posted, so shout out Maisie. By the way, our other producer, Ella, was the sideline reporter for that game. But Maisie, you were producing. But shout out to you because you were on the broadcast for a previous game. I think, was it the Northwestern game where you got honored as the call of the week for your work on the Illinois? Was it the Northwestern game?
Yeah. Yes, it was the Northwestern game.
Hey, shout out you. Great job.
Thank you.
So good things are coming your way. But yeah, what's your thought on the Illinois-UCLA game?
I think, first of all, like you said, it wasn't a blowout. I think that's what a lot of people were expecting from this game. I know that's what I was expecting. So it was a pleasant surprise. Our whole crew was saying we have never had so much fun in the control room at a game because Illinois just kept fighting. And I mean, this was a game where Ciara Parchment is putting up 26 points. She's only a freshman. Barry Wallace, she's comes into this game averaging 19.8 points a game, but she only scores 11. So that's where Destiny Jackson, another freshman, steps up. She's their second lead scorer, 15 points. And on top of that, they're leaving Lauren Betts, the arguably the best player in the country right now. I believe she didn't even break 10 points in the first half, which is, it's just incredible that they're playing at this level. Such a young team able to fight back. And UCLA's coach Corey Close gave a lot of credit to the team during Ella's halftime interview, and she's said a lot of great things about Shauna, and she had a lot to say about the program during the press conference at the end about how this team kind of reminds her of something similar with her team, how if you stick with your program, you know, water it, nourish it, they have something great. And I think that's really interesting. You don't see that a lot for coaches to say, stick with your program because you guys have something special.
I have a little bit of that clip here from Corey Close talking about what can happen when you stick together.
It's almost unheard of anymore. And I would say to this young core group at Illinois that if they can stay together and through the ups and downs, fight the urge to choose themselves or to look elsewhere, or I always say the grass isn't greener on the other side, the grass is greener where you water. And I have a group that has chosen to stay together. has chosen to stay together even when it's really hard. And you talk about Sienna, what she said about right now, it's not easy playing with all these players. And, she could have chosen a much more comfortable path. But if you're willing to step into the hard and learn from the experiences and the failures, let them help you fail forward, you can do something really special. And most people choose the easy way out when it gets hard. And we are where we are because we've had a core group of people that's been willing to stay committed even when it's really hard. And if they will choose that, they can be in a really special place.
So then the Illini were also asked about that in the post-game press conference on their side about what they could be if they stick together.
Could have the most skilled players in the world, but they don't stay together, and then the team kind of, you know, doesn't do as well as you can. So if you have a team that's been together since, like, we're freshmen, I think we can do pretty well. I mean, not just when we're seniors. I mean, next year we're going to be better than we are right now. So just staying together and keep building, I think, is going to really be key.
Mm-hmm. Just to piggyback off what CeCe said, if we could just stay together and just keep growing together, like Coach Green always says, grow through the growing pains that we have to go through stuff as a team to get better, then just the sky's the limit for our team.
So that was Ciara Parchment and Destiny Jackson, the two freshmen. And interestingly enough, we were just having a discussion about the two freshmen in the starting lineup for Illinois on the men's side. But Ciara Parchment with 26 points, that's a career high. And she's doing that against the number two team in the nation that has the best post player, at least, if not any position player in the country. So Maisie, I thought that's pretty encouraging about what this team could be down in the future. But I still think there's a lot ahead here because there's more wins coming for the Illini.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, coming off, what is this, her third freshman of the week at this point? One of the two. But I think that this game could honestly secure another one coming up. I mean, a freshman, 26 points against the top two team in the country. How does that happen? I mean, Illinois is just on a lucky streak. And again, I'm lucky to be going to school here at this time. We've talked about it nonstop. I'm just grateful for this team. They're so much fun to watch too. Great girls. And another thing, just they all respect Shauna Green in a way that I feel like is kind of interesting. I mean, you see with the men's team, you know, they all have fun, mess around with Brad. You know, he's still hard on them. But with Shauna, it's kind of different. Like, they look at her almost in, like, I don't want to say godlike, but they just look to her like they just admire her so much. And I think that that's kind of why Shauna has the return rate she has and how she's really growing this program and getting those recruits back that she might not have gotten initially.
They really revere her is maybe the word I would use on that.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Mm-hmm. All right,
it's such an interesting way to put it, Maisie, is that, like, that's kind of rare in college athletics, and I think that's what the UCLA coach was getting at. When you have that special combination of people who respect the coach and believe in what she says and ignore the, hey, you could go climb onto a top 25 team next year if you got in the portal and everything else, that's how you build something special. I mean, listen to how the Indiana football players talk about Kurt Cignetti and, you know, what practices were like once he came on campus. You gain that respect from players, and that's a great way to build a program in 2026.
Yeah, I think the point is don't just go chasing the bag, but at the same time, you got to take care of the players that are there for you that are building the program and doing good things. So
certainly,
it goes both ways. Okay, when we come back, football, the schedule's out. So Robert wanted to catch your thoughts on that. A couple of other items. This is Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Community Credit Union. Schedule's out for Illinois football in 2026. We already knew the opponents and whether they'd be home or away, but Robert, now we know specific dates. And as I look at this schedule with a deep analysis, I see that there are some games at home and there are some games on the road, and that the schedule runs from September through November. Is there anything else to add to
deep,
that?
Deep analysis there, Scott. Way to go.
No, UAB to start at September 5th, then Duke and the return game September 12th, and SIU September 19th. So three home games, three winnable games, in my opinion. And then you start Big Ten play on the road in the Horseshoe on September 26th. Purdue home October 3rd, back on the road Michigan State October 10th, hosting Oregon October 24th, Maryland is Halloween out on the East Coast, and then back home for Nebraska on November 7th. UCLA is the West Coast trip this year, November 14th. Home for Iowa, November 21st, and the finale is presumably at the new stadium at Northwestern on November 28th to finish out the year. Thoughts?
Oh, I have thoughts. I think the biggest thing is it's maybe the most normal schedule Illinois has gotten from the Big Ten in, I don't know, 20 years. You can remember when Brett Bielema got the job, especially press conferences his first 2 years, he would make comments like, oh, I see other teams have their bye week right in the middle of the season. Well, the Big Ten gave us week 10. That never happened to me before. I'm not sure why that's happened to me now. You know, he would goad the schedule makers to say, look, you don't play favorites with the schedule. We know that. But why are we always getting a week 2 or a week 10 bye week instead of getting one in the middle of the season where you can break up all the difficult conference games? So there were also all these moments of, oh, Illinois finishes with 4 of 5 on the road, or, you know, has back-to-back road games at difficult locations and everything else. This schedule is a very simple, you know, this is a year when Illinois has 4 home games and 5 road games in the Big Ten, and it's a very simple road, home, road, home, road, home, road, and done. And I don't know if I got to 9 or if I did 7 there, but
I think you did 7.
It's just a rotation back and forth between road and home. None of these back-to-back road trips that Illinois has taken for decades that never seemed to happen to Ohio State or Michigan, which I believe was Brett Bielema's point in all of those press conferences. And then there's a bye week right in the middle of the season. I urge somebody to go look at Northwestern's schedule. Northwestern's bye week is week 2. And then they have to play every single week until the end of the season. You don't save much when your bye week is week 2. You're just restarting the season at that point. Coaches love a bye week right in the middle of the season to give their players a break before, you know, hitting it hard on the second half of the year.
Is there only one?
Illinois will have.
Is there only one bye week though this year?
Yes. So that's a function of the calendar. That's basically because Labor Day weekend. Labor Day goes from September 1st to September 7th this year. So on the years where there are 14 weekends between Labor Day weekend and Thanksgiving weekend, everybody gets 2 bye weeks. And on years like this upcoming 2026 year, there's only 13 weeks between Labor Day weekend and Thanksgiving weekend. And on those years, you only get 1 bye week. So it's just a function of how far the dates are apart from each other. Because Thanksgiving will reset to a later date before Labor Day resets to a later date. And in those years in there, you get 2 bye weeks.
You're a weird dude, Robert.
The fact that I know that off the top of my head?
Yeah.
This is my life, Scott. Like, these are the things. When I'm on an airplane and people are watching something on their device, I'm just sitting there thinking about former Illinois schedules and making notes that I can look up when I get off the plane, of saying, like, you know, remember that year? It was like 2013 or something, where we had 5 home games to start, and then it was road, 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 home, road, home, road, road, you know, just like a crazy schedule of everything on, you know, it's just been so long since Illinois had a normal football schedule, and this is what it is. 3 home games, then you go road, home, road, home, road, home, road, home, road, home, road. Probably got the 14 there, or 13. And then you just have a bye week right in the middle. It's this normal thing. There's no back-to-back, oh, you got to go to Oregon, and then you got to go the very next weekend, you got to go to Penn State on the other side of the country. None of that. It's just a normal, manageable schedule. And for that, we are most thankful.
A couple of other items. There are Illini players spread out in the various, what do you want to call them, bowls that are scouted.
Senior Bowl,
Shrine Bowl, and the Senior Bowl's coming up. There's some clips that have gone around. Luke Altmyer seems to be impressing some folks, and Gabe Backus and J.C. Davis. J.C. Davis had an unfortunate clip go viral where he got bowled over by an edge rusher from Missouri. I can't remember his name. I think his last name's Young, but I wouldn't put stock in one particular play, but that is circling around. And then one other thing, congratulations to Hank Beatty, academic All-American for Illinois football, just the 27th academic All-American in program history. Josh Whitman, the athletic director, got to tell him about it. They recorded the phone call and put it out there. Of course, Whitman himself was an academic All-American. I don't usually get too caught up into the academic announcements that go out there about GPAs and all the other stuff with that. But this one's noteworthy just because it's they don't come all around too much. So congratulations, Hank Beatty.
First since 2007, Jay Layman and Ryan McDonald were both academic All-Americans. Look, when there are press conferences in the team room, we – the media walks up the stairs there at the entrance of the Smith Center, and you turn the corner and there's a wall right there with all of the academic All-Americans. And if I remember correctly, like the last four are Whitman, Tony Pechos, Lehman, and McDonald. And then you just see this wall where there's been nothing since 2007. And you see it going back into the 40s and 30s and everything else. But that's a big deal. That's a big deal. First time in what, 18 years to have an academic All-American? And to have it a guy who made All Big Ten team, third team All Big Ten, and produced what he produced on the field, and led the team to a 9-4, and answer the question of who's going to replace Pat Bryant. It's a massive, massive deal. So congrats to Hank Beatty.
All right. Next time we get together, we will be looking back on a couple more basketball games. Illinois women are at Washington over the weekend, and of course the men with their big top of the standings matchup with Nebraska, so we'll get to talk about that. And Illinois softball coach Tyra Perry getting ready for a new season that, believe it or not, begins at the end of next week. So she'll join us here on Light the Eye. Anything else you got to get off your chest there from Idaho, Robert?
I can hear the grandkids downstairs, so they are back from preschool. And so I think it is time to go assist my wife in helping kids, and I'm pretty excited. Look, I'll tell you one more little short story. Last night, even though I'm watching on tape delay, my granddaughter climbed up on the lap, and she's like, I like basketball. So I'm like, okay, let's watch. And Merkovic hits this layup, and she goes, yay! And boy, you want to hit my heart? You want to hit my heart? And my granddaughter climb onto my lap, see Illinois make a layup, and say yay. I'm going to float just on that memory alone all the way back precious. To Champaign next week.
I guess she's not one of the 17, though.
No, I guess so. She said she likes basketball, so we're going to lean this. I'm gonna get her to learn Sierra Parchment's name and everything else, so it's going to be great.
All right. Thanks to Maisie Garrett for fine work as our producer and contributor on this program. Thanks to our hosts at the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning on the campus of the U of I here inside the Armory. For Robert Rosenthal, I'm Scott Beatty. We'll talk to you again next time when we light the eye. Oh,